o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo Show, live from the Auction Community Studio on this Valentine's Day. Wet and rainy Valentine's Day. Be careful driving home out there. Also, happy birthday to the state of Arizona. And congratulations. We're all on a little break from the Phoenix Suns. When's the Tuesday? Wednesday? When's the Cleveland Cavaliers?
When's it
game?
Bad news for the Cavs? When?
It's a week from today.
It's a week from today.
So wow. A whole week.
We were on a break!
We could use one right now.
Legal separation, I think it's what it's called.
We could. No, we're not legally separated. We're not filing any paperwork or anything. We're just taking a little time out right now. Just a little time out on the floor is all it is. We need a little break right now from all of this because it has
been bad. We all want the team to do well. We all remember what it was like when they did do well, when that building was rocking and they were going to the playoffs and they were a threat to win a championship. Man, that was fun. That's fun.
Yeah, that was also a really long time ago.
You know, this is, man, just waiting for your draft pick every year is just brutal. I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Just waiting to see where you're going to pick in the lottery. That's not fun.
Cap space you have to spend and who you're going to spend it on, knowing that you're not going to get the best guys out there. That's no fun. Waiting on draft picks is no fun. Inevitably, it's going to come up, and we've kind of hinted around this for several weeks now. One of the questions facing this team when they get the next 23 games out of the way will be Igor Kokoschkov and whether he is going to follow Steve Wilks in the category of a one-and-done coach around here, and whether what he has done warrants not being a one-and-done coach around here. That's a conversation that we're going to have. That's a conversation that Suns fans are probably having, wondering whether Igor Kokoschkov truly is the right guy to get them out of this.
I don't think that it's his. I don't think that he's the reason why they're not winning basketball games. I think this is a complete organizational problem from the top down, in which they have a culture of losing that they just can't figure out a plan and a method. Now, maybe James Jones is the right guy, or maybe he's not. I don't know. He is changing what the game plan was, and he's going to break away from how young this team is. So that's his goal. He's trying to break away from this team being so damn young and to bring in some more veteran players that know how to win and know how to play. And they don't have anybody that makes anybody around them better. They just don't have a single player that makes anybody around them better. Igor's playing a lot of guys that were just recently drafted. I mean, if you watch that game, you're playing Eliakobo, recently drafted. You know, you're playing Mikal Bridges, recently drafted. Kelly Oubre, recently drafted. Devin Booker, recently drafted. Just about everybody that they play. Josh Jackson, recently drafted. When Melton plays, he's recently drafted. Unless you put, Jamal Crawford on the floor, you're playing a lot of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that plan may work and it may not work. There's no guarantee. A lot of teams believe that the best way to rebuild is just to lose. Get lottery picks 3-4 years in a row, get great picks, and, maybe you'll end up with, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Maybe you'll end up with, and I think the Oklahoma City success kind of led this path because of Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Kevin Durant. Lose, and you'll get those three guys. Over a 5-year period, you'll get three star players. It doesn't always work that way.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that it's going to work that way.
I think the Warriors, too, were a little bit of a model for that in losing and drafting Klay and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, right? I mean, that kind of stormed the foundation
for
what they were.
Sure, there's been some teams that, and there's been a lot of teams that have had failure doing it.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, you could try to stay this course, and maybe in two or three years, they'll be good enough to win, or maybe they won't be. Just don't know. But I think the patience is worn out.
Yeah, this is gonna sound like I'm skirting around the issue, and I'm not trying to. I agree with you. I don't think Igor is the problem, but I'm also not convinced he's the solution either. Does that make any sense? It's not his fault. It's not he's handed a bunch of kids. He's got a rookie general manager making decisions who may or may not know exactly what it is that he's doing up there. He doesn't have that kind of fiery personality that lends itself to a lot of public support. I mean, how many different conversations have you and I had, have Bickley and Murata had, about whether Igor is going to get a technical or not? How many conversations have Doug and Wolf had about whether it's Igor's job to coach effort to the point where they even asked James Jones that during Newsmakers Week on Monday.
It is, yeah, it is. You know, that's a coach's job. A coach has multiple responsibilities, but one is finding a way to motivate and get your guys to play hard. And, you know, you can't control whether or not they do it all the time, but, you know, we consistently talk about trying to find those buttons that we need to push, trying to find that right mix of guys that can play and affect our team with effort and energy consistently. So, yeah, it's a coach's job, and it's the front office's job to make sure that we acquire and we pursue guys that have that.
So, look, I don't think it's Igor's fault that they've got 11 wins on the season. All right, you're right. It's an organizational thing from top to bottom, but I also don't know if he's got the stuff to be a head coach in this league. I just don't know if he's got the complete package necessary to be a head coach. He knows basketball, but does that make him a head coach in this league? I don't know. I do know this. I know what I'm tired of is guys
hiring inexperienced people.
Yep, is guys who have never done it before being asked to do it. Right. And that is just my worry, is that if they decide organizationally, you know what, Igor's not the right guy, he doesn't have the stuff to be a head coach in this league, that's fine. You know what they're going to do? They're going to hire a guy who's never been a head coach in this league before to be the head coach of the Sun. No, they are! Because that's their DNA. That's their code. They live by that code.
I'll bet you right now that the next head coach they hire, whenever it is a guy that's had head coaching experience in the NBA. It's such a safe bet for you.
I know it is.
I think they're ready to break that trend.
Okay.
Whether it's it may keep Igor. I mean, because again, I don't think it's Igor's fault that they're losing all these games. I think it's, you know, an organizational issue of, you know, a philosophy they had, and it's just they're not ready to win.
Okay, but something you said really stuck with me. You were talking about Budenholzer, all right?
Yes.
And why Budenholzer is not the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. And you
demands.
Said he made demands.
Demands.
I think experienced NBA coaches are going to make demands.
Yes.
And when they do,
then Sarver says no.
And
that's what your feeling is going
to
be?
So to me, I feel like I should almost take your bet, because I just feel like it's just the safe, easy play for them to hire, whether it's the general manager or the head coach, to just hire somebody who's never done it before, because they won't make demands, because they won't want things to be a certain way and things to go a certain way. And I'm so, as a lifelong Suns fan, Gambo, and you know I'm a lifelong Suns fan, I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of first year this, first time that, first year this. I mean, for just once, and this is what I want to know, truly what I want to know. What is the breaking point for an organization to say, I know our DNA is to do it this way, but we have to culturally change and do it that way?
But it's not an organization. It's not a breaking point for an organization. It's a breaking point for one man.
Well, I guess when I say organization, I mean one man. I guess when I say,
what's his breaking point?
What's his breaking point?
He hired Ryan McDonough. He gave him 5 years. They went through a game plan of, this is what we need to do. He showed patience with Ryan McDonough through all of those drafts, from Alex Len to Dragan Bender to Marquise Chris to Josh Jackson, Devin Booker. All, he did show patience with Ryan McDonough's plan. And then this year got fed up with the plan not working and not getting a point guard and decided to make a change. Now you've given James Jones the interim. You evaluate James Jones and you try to figure out, is he capable of running the organization?
But how are we?
I'm not there every day. I don't know that. He's got to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even know what we'd base that off of, whether James Jones is capable of running the organization.
Listen,
and as far as Ryan is concerned, what I want to see is not only hiring a guy to make the basketball decisions, but leave him alone and let him do it. And that's the part where I'm sure Robert didn't just stand back and let Ryan make whatever decision he wanted to make. That didn't transpire over 5 years.
Probably on certain things he had the ability to do that, but on others, no. In the end, every owner, and this is the truth, every owner in every sport still has to okay every decision.
I understand,
but there's a level of how involved you are.
When you're
there is a level of, and Robert is probably way more involved than other owners, but every owner, Ken Kendrick in baseball, Barroway in hockey, Michael Bidwell in football, every owner is involved in all the decisions that get made.
When you're 13 and 72 in your last 85 games, it is time to question how involved you should be.
Right. I agree. There's no disagreement here.
What is the breaking point for that decision to happen? How many more seasons like this before that change of philosophy has to take place within the organization, within the man? That's what I want to know.
You know, you hope that this is it, right? You hope that after this season, whatever decisions they make are decisions that will move this organization forward, not backwards.
So while we're talking about the Suns, we got to have this conversation too. The face of the franchise, Devin Booker, was basically called untouchable earlier this week. Should he be? We'll try to address that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You must learn.
It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
Knowledge Drop today. We've talked about this a couple of times. Evan Sidery over at Bright Side of the Sun. I appreciate the pain that must have gone into revealing this number, discovering this number. In the last 85 games the Phoenix Suns have played, they have a record of 13 wins and 72 losses.
Ugh.
And of those 72 losses, over a quarter of them have been by 20 points or more. I don't know what's... I mean, seriously.
The 20-point or more loss?
20, that's... A quarter of their losses.
Yeah, you're not
losses.
Even competitive. I mean, that's not even competitive. You have, you're not even in the game. Fans are leaving early. The game's over. The benches are cleared when you're losing by 20 or more. I mean, that's it. It's just, it doesn't get any worse than that. It's bad on all accounts. There is the best news that the Suns had was when they got the number one overall pick and they got DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be a good player in this league. How good? Not sure, but he's going to be good. I mean, he is. I mean, his numbers, when you look at 16 and 10 or whatever his averages are, and I know they're close to that, I mean, they're very, compared to the great centers that came in as rookies, they're good. They're good. He doesn't even have a point guard to get him the ball.
Right.
Can't even run a pick and roll with him, for goodness sake.
And see, that's the thing, too, is that we can sit here, and the Suns lost last night, obviously, and so we're kind of in a bad frame of mind with the Suns right now because it's a 15-game losing streak. It's tied a franchise record. The problem is that we're basing all of our judgments on James Jones, on Igor Kokoschkov, on Devin Booker, which we're about to do here in a minute. We're basing all of these judgments,
okay. And
this team doesn't have anybody at point guard that can make these players better. They don't have
anybody anywhere that I can make them better. There is no one player on this team that makes anybody else
better.
But
perhaps the most important position, they're completely void right now. They don't have, and so to, should Igor Kokoschkov be the coach, yes or no? Well, get him a point guard, let's find out. Should James Jones be the general manager of this team? Well, you know what, go get a point guard, let's find out. Should Devin Booker be traded or not? Let's go get him a point guard and find out. I mean, before we can answer any of these questions, you've got to, and the fact that they've gone this long without solving it, And even the guy they're trying to get to solve it, Tyler Johnson, he's made, what, 6 shots since he's been here in 3 games?
He looks awful.
He's been brutal.
He looks completely awful.
Yeah. I think he's...
So when he hit a 3-pointer last night, I was like, wow, he finally hit one, you know, later in the game. But he's not... Okay, but that's the thing. I mean, you're just going to spend $19 million next year on Tyler Johnson. The reason being is they want to be able to, they're trying to think ahead to get a player that has an expiring contract that they could use as part of a trade to go get somebody. Yeah. I understand the thought process. Now, if you ask anybody in the league, is Tyler Johnson worth $19 million? Hell no.
Oh, no, no.
Hell, he's not worth $19 million. He's not that. He's a combo guard. He's not a point guard.
Earlier this week, James Jones, when he was on, he's been on 3 different shows here on our station. On one of the shows, he basically said, look, the plan going forward now is 4 to 5 veteran guys that can help us win right away and build that around Booker and Ayton and see where we go, implying that Booker and Ayton were untouchable. And that's largely been the operating principle for the last couple of years, that he is your superstar. You're going to build it around him. You gave him the max level contract. Nobody had a problem with it when they did it. You brought up when you're show prepping, he's like, here's a thought. Should Devin Booker even be untouchable? Should anybody
be
untouchable?
And I want to make sure that I make this very clear. I'm not sitting here saying that the Phoenix Suns should trade Devin Booker. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's nobody on this team that's untouchable. Okay, there's nobody on this team. They don't have Michael Jordan on this team. They don't have LeBron James on this team. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, they're not on this team. Devin Booker is a very good player. He's not a top 20 player in the league, in the whole league. Might not be top 25, but to sit there and say that he's, you know, that he's untouchable. You can't look. Do you want to build around Booker and Ayton? Yes, you want to build around Booker and Ayton. But if some team calls you and says, "Man, I would do anything to get Devin Booker," what would you do? What would you do to get him?
What would
I'd
you
like
do?
To know.
Yeah,
like to say that there's not a price for everything. I don't want to sell my house; just remodeled it. Somebody comes up to me, makes you an offer I can't refuse, I'll sell it. So, like. If the Lakers called and said, listen, got to have Booker, Matt, LeBron needs Booker with them, has to have him. We'll give you Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, 3 first-round picks. This is what LeBron wants. Okay, I'll trade him. I'm just sitting here saying, like for it's idiotic, it's stupid to think that a good general manager would not take a phone call on any player on this roster.
Sure.
They've got 11 wins. They don't win basketball games. I mean, who's... I mean, Booker's untouchable? Nobody's untouchable. They can't win.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's not good enough to elevate this team. He's not good enough to elevate. Look, LeBron James is with the Lakers right now. As good as LeBron James is, they're the 10th seed in the West.
Right.
You need other players around you to win. You're like, very rarely can one guy elevate a franchise by himself. The Lakers are 10th in the West. They got LeBron James.
And that goes back to the point guard conversation. That goes to getting more veteran talent around him. That goes to the new approach that James Jones is going to try to take this offseason in building a better team around him. Look, I was really frustrated with Devin Booker last night. I watched a big chunk of that game. I thought his effort was poor. I thought his level of want to was poor. I thought that for a guy who talked a mean game a couple of days ago about playing with heart and pride and passion, man, it looked like the minute they kind of got punched in the mouth in that third quarter that he was just looking to see, is the jet gassed up? Can we get out of here? Where are we headed? I think he wanted off that floor and had very little interest in playing that game. That being said, I still believe that Devin Booker is a part of the solution, and I still believe that Devin Booker is going to be a part of the next great Suns team, but my God, do they have to get him some help. Some guys who can even look at that Clippers roster last night.
Yeah, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, and Patrick Beverley coming off the bench and just killing it. Their bench was better than our starters.
Yep.
Their bench was killing. Lou Williams had 30. Montrezl Harrell was a monster on both sides. Patrick Beverley shut Devin Booker down. Shut him down. You know, you look at the guys that they've got, you're like, wow, it's impressive. The other thing you got to think about, I just want to bring this up because, you know, everybody's so focused on Zion. R.J. Barrett's a freaking stud. He's 6'7". He's more athletic than Booker. He has more length than Booker. He could play with Booker. Like, you could play those two together. You could if you drafted them. You could also get to the point where you trade that pick if it's R.J. Barrett, because a lot of teams are going to want him, and you get Booker help that way. You could also decide that you like R.J. Barrett better than Booker and then trade Booker and keep R.J. Barrett. Like, there, I'm just saying, you have to consider every option when you're a team like this. You have to.
And that's all you're saying. I want to make to your point.
You got to consider every option.
You're not advocating trading Booker.
No.
You're advocating considering every option to make this better.
Options. Talk to every team. Find the players you want to play with Booker and Ayton.
Yeah.
And then if somebody calls and is interested in one of your players, even if it's Book, you got to listen.
If you want to get your hands on Coyotes, ASU basketball, or Suns tickets, visit the rewards page. Click game day tickets for your chance to win. We knew it was only a matter of time. And today, one NFL mock draft, though not one that we have a wager on, one NFL mock draft went there. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. If you haven't heard, here on the Burns and Gambo Show, along with our producer, Jordan Bird, and Sarah Kizell, our associate producer and update anchor, the four of us have like a little mini bet around here. Kind of like an office baby pool, all right? When is Stacy in accounting going to have the baby? I'm going to pick this day and this time.
It's always Stacy with him. You notice that?
Sure. always Stacy.
It's always Stacy.
We have nobody named Stacy who works in accounting.
You feel safe going with Stacy.
If it ever came back,
you'd be like, there is nobody named Stacy that works
just,
here.
In my life, I've just known a lot of Stacys. Okay. It's just kind of the name that pops into my head for whatever reason. So we've got like our own little baby pool around here, except it's not when is the baby going to be born. It's when is a reputable mock draft going to have Kyler Murray going number one overall, right?
Yeah, whether not any mock draft, because 5,000 people do mock drafts. We're looking for one of the big wig mock drafts. You know, Kiper, McShay, Monday morning quarterback. Will one of the top mock drafts get to the point where they've got a quarterback going number one?
And not just Murray, a quarterback. When will one of the mock drafts have any of the quarterbacks going
Haskins,
number one?
Jones, Locke, Murray, doesn't matter. Just is a quarterback going to get to number one on one of the main people's mock drafts?
Yeah, the six mock drafts that we've chosen are Kiper, McShay, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com, Bucky Brooks of NFL.com, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, and then the MMQB.com.
Right.
One of those six mock drafts, and then you've got March 5th, Jordan's got March 6th, I've got March 17th, Sarah has April 1st, as being the first date one of those major mainstream mock drafts has a quarterback going number one overall.
Yeah.
This is not a major mainstream mock draft, but we're getting there. DraftWire.com put together a new three-round mock draft,
okay,
and they have the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray, number one overall. He writes, is it crazy to think that Murray made his firm commitment to football over baseball because he knows something we don't? Maybe Cliff Kingsbury wants to handpick his franchise quarterback, one with a rare skill set who would fit perfectly with his offense. Taking Murray at number one and putting Josh Rosen on the trade block would instantly throw this draft into chaos. And yet he's predicting it would happen.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Like I've said all along, if the Cardinals do all their homework on Kyler Murray, they scout him at the combine, they interview him, they go through all the tape, and they're like, oh my God, are you guys seeing this?
This guy is awesome. He's
going to be a franchise. He's going to be one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL. And they've soured on Rosen. Well, then it's possible they do it. But like we don't know yet because they haven't done that. One, if they soured on Rosen, how could you sour on Rosen after 1 year? It's 1 year with Mike McCoy and Byron Leftwich as his coordinators, and the head coach has been fired already. Like, how do you, no wide receivers, no offensive line. Like, how do you really judge Josh Rosen on that season? It's a very difficult thing to do. So, like, can you really, like, determine right now that, yeah, we drafted Rosen last year, we moved up to get him, but we don't believe in him anymore. Based on what?
Yeah.
Based on what? I mean,
there's nothing reasonable to base that off of.
Like, is it fair? Like, is it really fair over 13 games? Over 13 games, we don't think he's good. Like, it's a quarterback position. Like, it takes time. Like, you don't have good talent around him. So I don't think that they would take Kyler Murray. But I would never say, like, there's no way, it's impossible, they're not going to do it.
No, nothing's impossible, especially when it comes to this. Everything is on the table when you're coming off a 3-13 season. Every single thing. But I'm with you, and we're not the only ones. I think, look, we can all agree, and Bill Barnwell, longtime NFL writer for ESPN.com, he was on Bickley and Murata's show today. We can all agree on one thing. I think most of us can agree on this. The Cardinals drumming up interest in Kyler Murray in the number one pick is good for business, and it makes sense for Arizona to do that.
One-star player. I don't think it's going to fix this roster. I think it's going to be by adding two or three very solid late first-round, early second-round pieces. So if you're the Cardinals, hey, maybe it makes sense to try and draw up Kyler Murray interest,
Absolutely. Try
and get someone who wants a quarterback to trade up, get the first overall pick. Maybe you get two or three first-rounders or a couple first-rounders and a couple second-rounders, and you are able to sort of rebuild your team that way.
I think more importantly than that, in all honesty, I think it's drumming up interest that other teams are interested in moving up to number
sure.
one. If the Cardinals come out and they're like, we love Kyler Murray. If I'm a team and I want Kyler Murray, I'm like, I can't get him. The Cardinals are going to take him. Like, if they're that sold on him, like, I can't get him. You're in a better position. What the Cardinals can do is they can make teams like the Raiders and the Giants and the Jaguars and Washington and all these teams that might be looking, Miami, all these, they can make them believe that they're getting a lot of calls.
Sure.
Hey, have you got any interest in the number one pick? Off the hook. I mean, we've had so many teams call about the number one pick. There's a lot of teams that are interested. We don't expect to move down, but yes, we're getting a lot of calls on the number one. So all you, because the, Like, if Jacksonville's calling the Cardinals, they're not going to tell everybody they're calling the Cardinals. They don't want to play their hand. So they're not going to be like, no. Yeah, we called the Cardinals at number one. Because that nobody. So that's the one great secret that the game the Cardinals could play in which nobody will really know. Because nobody wants anybody to know. If the Jaguars are calling the Cardinals, they don't want to tell teams because then other teams may call the Cardinals.
But then it's in the Cardinals' best interest to strategically leak that, to somebody.
That several
that the
teams
Jags
have called.
That the Dolphins have called. Hey,
you don't even have to say that several teams have called. There's a lot of interest in this pick.
Adam Schefter goes on SportsCenter one morning. I've got sources who are telling me that the team X, Y, and Z have all placed calls to the Cardinals
right.
in the last 24 hours. Who knows where
That's
he got it from?
What you have
Who
to do.
Who cares where he got it from? Just the fact that he's got it and he's putting that information out into the marketplace is going to help the Arizona Cardinals drum up
yeah,
business.
The Cardinals have to figure out a way to get people to...
What?
And now listen, maybe there are teams that are calling. If one team calls, they need to say they're getting three calls. If two teams call, they're getting
Absolutely.
Four calls. Just
But to your point, the other thing, and it goes hand in hand with it, that would help this is if Dwayne Haskins goes out in the combine and kills it. Or Kyler Murray goes out the combine and kills it. Just leaves these, just like, so imagine the scouting combine and teams are walking out of the interview room with Kyler Murray. They just spent 15 minutes with him. Man, that kid's great. He's smart. You see him drawing up those plays on the board.
High
he knows what he's all. Oh, great character guy.
Smart kid. High
leader.
Football IQ.
Oh, that'd be the best thing in the world to happen
sure.
for the Cardinals because then the stock just goes tick, 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 up, up, up. And the interest grows because of that. And it doesn't even have to be Murray. Haskins. It could be Bosa, for goodness sakes. You suggested the other day that the Raiders might move up to number one so they can take Nick Bosa. Fine, yeah. Let it be Bosa.
Who's doing the John Gruden stuff now on ESPN, the quarterback stuff? Who's doing that?
Oh, God help us all. I hope it's not Jason Witten. That's all I'm going to say about that. No.
I don't know.
No, I'm serious. Don't give him the keys to that franchise.
I thought it was a current quarterback that did it last year for Gruden.
Was it?
I can't remember. I thought it was a quarterback. Was it Mariota somebody? Or
Mariota?
I don't know. I thought it was a quarterback.
Was it Hasselbeck? Was it?
Okay. I don't know.
Jordan's looking it up. He'll
no,
give
none
us
of us remember.
In a second.
But like whoever that is that's doing like the quarterback, like just come out raving.
Talk him up.
About Haskins or Murray and how great they
sure.
are.
It was Russell Wilson.
Oh, you see, I told you.
Wow, I didn't realize it was a current player.
It was a current player.
Russell Wilson did the John Gruden.
Yeah, it was a current player.
They changed
player.
The name to QB to QB instead of Gruden's quarterback
wow.
camp.
All right.
I just remembered it was a current player.
I tip my cap to you, my friend. I could not. I
wouldn't have guessed.
There's that terrible memory of Gambo's again.
I said it was Mariota. I mean, I didn't. I knew
yeah,
it was
look,
a
look. Get, Jordan and I have cracked the code,
mm-hmm.
and your wife is now fully on board with this.
Yeah,
your self accusations of having a bad memory are all just so you can get away with stuff like, "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I forgot you told me to take out the trash."
Oh, you know what her favorite word is? Oh, that's convenient. You don't remember. My wife says that all the time. Oh, so convenient. You don't remember.
You know what? I think we've all cracked the code. I think she's right. I think you are selectively yeah. forgetful.
I'm not. Well, my wife literally five times a week. So convenient you don't remember. That's very convenient that you don't remember you said that.
Careful, it's Valentine's Day. Easy.
Hey,
easy. Careful.
I sent a dozen roses.
Cares. That doesn't give you carte blanche to say whatever you yeah. want to say on the radio. Easy Gambo.
I bought myself some goodwill.
On behalf of your marriage, I'm just telling you to slow down a little bit. Slow.
Okay.
He's the most vilified commissioner in all of sports.
Yes, he is.
Apparently, it seems now that even some of Roger Goodell's allies want him out as well. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So let me get this straight. Some NFL owners reached out to Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, to see if he would switch teams. For lack of a better way of putting it. Hey, come on over here.
Probably Jerry Jones.
Come on and join us. Yeah, I was, when I saw this headline, I'm like,
I wonder if
I
all
can't
the,
wait
I
to mean, talk about this today.
Imagine the owners that don't know about this. Wait, some owners reached out to Adam Silver to see if he'd be interested? I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
There's no way all the owners, because there are probably owners that back Roger Goodell, and there are probably owners that hate Roger Goodell. So I imagine it's like there a bunch of them got together and like, look, let's just see if Adam Silver's interested. And he admitted, yeah, the NFL's reached out to me.
That buffoon running it over there, yeah, they want to get rid of him.
I would imagine, and this this is just a guess. I'm just guessing. I would imagine there are some owners in the league who feel like Roger Goodell is easily influenced by certain owners in the league, and that those owners, the ones who don't, who aren't able to influence Goodell like other guys are, look at the NFL and go, man, we're just not progressive enough. We're not, what happened during the NFC Championship game was embarrassing that our commissioner went 10 whole days without addressing it. And we're not addressing the gambling issue enough. And we're not moving forward enough. We're not evolving enough. And the reason we're not doing it is because those owners that have influence over Roger Goodell don't want him to. No, things are good. We'll keep it just like it is. I could be totally misreading it, but it seems to me that if you're an NFL owner, and you want Adam Silver to be the guy in charge of your league, you probably think your league needs to be more like the NBA, more progressive, more out in front.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a story on USA Today that says four reasons why Adam Silver and the NFL don't match, and one of them is Silver is more progressive than the NFL owners would like. Let's get this out there. Silver has the public perception that he's a bit more progressive than other commissioners. He's way ahead of on gambling. He's continually pushed for equality. People will try to criticize Silver derisively, call him a woke commissioner. Silver has empowered players. The NBA and the NBAPA have a great relationship, while the NFL and the NFLPA do not. Would the NFL owners be fine with a commissioner who has a softer approach to labor? That's what one of the reasons. So, and here's the other reasons. Goodell is back in the good graces of the NFL. It says Silver could be a bit more progressive. The NBA is less of a headache because the current situation is good. There's labor peace. The players seem happy. The owners are less involved. The owners are younger, so they're more open to change. And then the last one is that the NBA is trending up in terms of popularity, ratings, revenue, social media, technology.
Absolutely.
That the NBA is trading up. That's four reasons why they think Adam Silver would not be the NFL commissioner.
So I would only imagine, and without having seen that article, I can only imagine if I'm an NFL owner and I don't think my league is progressive enough, then yeah, I'm interested in Adam Silver because he seems to understand progression. He seems to understand evolving. I mean, for goodness sakes, the NBA has been way out in front when it comes to the sports gambling thing. And that's the future, babe. That's coming. That is coming. And the NFL can fight it all they want, but it is coming. And so rather than fight it, try to figure out a way where it can work to your benefit. And Adam Silver, based off of his progressiveness, and here's the thing. Things good for the NFL right now, life is good, or for the NBA right now, life is good. Think about 5 years ago when Adam Silver took over that job. The Clippers situation, that was crisis.
Yeah, with the owner.
And he came with Donald Sterling, and yeah. He came in and, nope, this is how it's going to be.
You're out.
You're out.
You sell.
No, but it's my team. You can't. Nope. Yes,
you're
I
out.
Can. You're out. You're going to become a billionaire. You're already a billionaire. I'm going to make you more of a billionaire by making you sell your team. But you're out. You're not doing it.
I have an owner. He's buying it. There's nothing you can do about
it. And I think how he managed that crisis let the players and these younger progressive owners in the NBA realize, we got a good one here. We got somebody who's not afraid to back down. We got somebody here who's not afraid to evolve and think.
Tom Petty won't back down.
Whereas Roger Goodell is a guy who
hides.
Yeah. Took him. He was in hiding for 10 days.
Messes up everything.
Because he didn't want to talk about a blown call. You know, a big blown call, a huge blown call, but was just petrified.
He's blown every domestic violence and no rhyme or reason to the suspensions and blew the whole, you know, the bounty gate and the whole the Patriots thing and the deflate gate and just. He's just been just all over the map, not really having a game plan or anything like that. I mean, he's been a terrible, terrible commissioner for the National Football League.
Adam Silver says he hasn't given it any thought, which is sort of in a backdoor kind of way, confirms that they approached him about it. He didn't deny it. He just said, I haven't given much thought to the job. Apparently, he's been approached by a number of Fortune 500 companies as well, probably, again, for the same reasons we're talking about with the NFL, his progression, his ability to handle conflict, things like that. He says he's very happy on the job. And besides, as Adam Schefter said, Roger Goodell's not going away anytime soon.
He's done a great job for the NBA. There's no denying that. And he You know what it is? He totally gets it.
Yeah. He does.
Right?
He does.
And he just totally gets it. And so you're going to ask me, could he be the NFL commissioner? And I would just say that the end of Roger Goodell's tenure is not in sight right now.
Right.
Not right now. Now, when his current contract runs out, if the NFL owners at that point in time want to look to a guy like Adam Silver, that wouldn't surprise me. Adam Silver is very hot right now, and he may be hot for 5, 10 more years. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, David Stern was popular for a long period of time. Adam Silver's done a great job. Wouldn't surprise me if other people were interested in him. Why wouldn't they be?
But it's funny, in saying that, what goes unspoken is that Roger Goodell doesn't get it. Adam Silver gets it. Bright guy. He just gets it. And not that Schefter was saying that, but I'm saying it. Roger Goodell doesn't get it. He doesn't. He doesn't get it.
He's got a 5-year contract that started in 2017.
Yeah.
And so this 17, 18, 19, so this will be a third year in now to a 5-year contract. I mean, it could be looking to see if to find a replacement in a couple of years. Could be looking to have a better relationship between the players and the owners.
Possibly. Yeah, he possibly could be. So just something to keep an eye on, too. And then something else to keep an eye on, too, tonight in one of the final games before the All-Star break. The Pelicans are playing the Thunder, I think it is. And
there are people calling for Anthony. They've just stopped playing.
Just fake an injury and shut him down.
Shut it down.
The Pelicans need to fake some knee injury for Anthony Davis and say he's going to be out for the year. His performance the other night, that was the first time in his career he had had that few of points in that many minutes.
You think he wants to be there?
No. You think they want him there? No. I smell a fake injury coming. A fake injury and a shutdown for the rest of the season, because they cannot possibly continue to exist like that there.
No, there was some thought that they could find the Pelicans if there was a fake injury, but right. I think at this point that's way would be what happens.
We're going to be on the campus of GCU. We will talk to you tomorrow then at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day.